This series of presentations concerning Christian apologetics is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Dr. Paul Hennebury, president of TELUS Biblical Institute, will lead our study. It is our prayer that these presentations will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
All right, having talked about classical apologetics, albeit briefly, I want to talk about the next popular school of the defense of the Christian faith, which is evidentialism. Evidentialists, not surprisingly, point to evidences that they say prove, or at least go a long way to proving, the existence of the Christian God. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with pointing to evidences. I believe that we ought to do it. There are certainly many, many clear and pointed evidences for the truth of the Bible, for example, and for the truth of the main tenets of Christianity. In fact, I would go further than that, and I will do when I talk about my particular approach, and say that every fact, if it is correctly interpreted, is evidence for the existence of God. But you see, there's the rub right there, if it is correctly interpreted. You see, what we have to face up to is that evidences don't come with labels on them telling us about themselves. This is the evidence. This is evidence for this particular historical transaction. This is evidence for supernatural origin. This is evidence for whatever we might want to talk about. No, what we have to do is that we look at a fact, we try and interpret it accurately. And if we've got an accurate interpretation, we can put it into a picture and a framework which makes sense of it. The problem is, of course, is that different people who are influenced by different assumptions will look at an evidence or a piece of evidence in a different way, and therefore put it into a different kind of a framework. So evidentialists very often, I think, are guilty of not owning up to the assumptions that they already bring to their interpretation of the different facts that they present in their apologetics. For example, they will talk about evidence for the reliability of Scripture, and they will maybe talk about archaeological evidence. Well, archaeological evidence is interpreted different ways by different kinds of archaeologists, depending on whether they are Bible-believing archaeologists or atheistic archaeologists, or like they carry anti-supernaturalistic liberal assumptions about God or about the Bible, and they look at the Bible as just a religious text of the ancient world, the same as many other texts of the ancient world. These kinds of assumptions, you see, are going to impact the way that they look upon evidence. An example of this would be the fact that the Bible clearly identifies the exodus of Israel from Egypt in the middle of the 15th century BC, around 1445 BC. But because many archaeologists just buy into the present way of looking at Egyptian chronology, despite the problems that it has with other chronologies in the ancient world, they cannot find a place to fit these events in to their Egyptian chronologies, and therefore they say, well, they never existed, never happened, because there's no evidence for them within that Egyptian chronology. So evidentialism points correctly to evidence, but unfortunately will kind of go here, there and everywhere to point to an evidence and then say, well, we should just all believe it. And there's no reason why somebody with a different set of assumptions will believe the interpretation that a Christian is going to put on the evidence. And that's one of the big failures of evidentialism. Another problem would be this, and just I'll quickly state this, that if we point to the evidence of prophecy, well, you have different biblical scholars who interpret prophecy differently. So that kind of is difficult to fasten down on. Also, there are problems with pointing to the beauty of Scripture. Some people might find it beautiful, some people might not. Some people might say, well, it is beautiful, but so are the works of Shakespeare, and they're not God-given. And so that doesn't really work as evidence. Also, what evidentialists tend to do, especially nowadays, is that they tend to look at the best evidences, the best attested evidence, where believers and unbelievers come together and they all agree on particular interpretation of facts. And that sounds great for the time being, but the problem is that scholarly opinion always changes from generation to generation, which means that what the liberals are agreeing with conservative evangelicals about in one generation, they'll disagree with them about in the next generation. So that's really not much of an apologetic platform. No, what we have to do is that we have to say that these evidences, they point to the truth of the world picture that we've already presented, which accords with Scripture. And therefore, they are corroborative, you see, of the truth. Therefore, although evidences are very important, it's naive to think that there's some kind of common ground that everybody is going to agree on as far as the interpretation of evidence is concerned.